Talk Radio 790 KABC, hour number two of the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. If you miss any portion of the broadcast, the entire program is up virtually right after the show at franksontag.com. We post all the podcasts of the radio program. You can find tonight's and every single one we've done over the last number of months simply by going to our website, franksontag.com. All right, one last thought, kind of to put a bow on the previous hour. I've gotten a lot of emails. People are not happy with my position, at least those that emailed me. I'm okay with that. Of the many points to be made, let me make what I think is the most obvious point. And then we're going to move on. We're going to shift gears, clear the lines, take calls on a lot of different topics. Of the many things we heard and we talked about, the one that I can't get away from is this woman says he was 30 feet away from her. 30 feet away is not that far. And if that's the first time she saw him and started yelling, it would take literally a couple of seconds. So as a public service announcement for safety, please be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of your surroundings. Get your head out of your phone. There's a lot of ways you can protect yourself. Have your phone in your hand, hit 911, whatever. But I hope and pray that we learn something from the previous hour. And those of you that emailed me, maybe didn't want to call in and get on the air. If you feel better, so be it. I think that we need to protect each other above all, especially in a day and age by which law enforcement has their hands full. And we'll leave it at that. I have never been one that am, let's just say I've gotten on the technological bandwagon. I'm not a Luddite. Some of you don't even know what a Luddite is. A Luddite is someone that's very anti-technology. But I'm one that I don't just jump on a bandwagon and get the latest, greatest, and this is the greatest thing since sliced bread and the discovery of the wheel. I plod along pretty slow. I'm like a turtle. So when it comes to technology or something like AI, I have a lot of questions and a lot of resistance. Part of it is born out of, ironically, a book I read many years ago, which I believe, if I'm correct, was published in 1992. You can still find it. The title is In the Absence of the Sacred. Author's name is Mander, M-A-N-D-E-R. First name is Jerry, no pun intended. Got dude's name actually is Jerry Mander. Subtitle is, again, the book is called In the Absence of the Sacred. Subtitle, The Failure of Technology and the Survival of the Indian Nations. And the book is all about questioning technology, not giving it some stamp of approval blindly, not being anti-technology, but the whole book is a posture by which we need to question these things. Now, AI, from my self-identified, somewhat naive position, I hear basically AI is nothing but a great thing. I hear a lot of, oh, it's can do nothing but be constructive and positive and et cetera, et cetera. Nothing like, well, we got to really take a look at this, let alone what I'm about to share with you. The person that wrote this is somebody that is an expert in this field. And the guy doesn't mince words. The headline, if we go ahead on this, everyone will die. How's that for a sobering headline? Warns AI expert calling for absolute shutdown. Let me read this to you. Human beings are not ready for a powerful AI under present conditions or even in the foreseeable future, stated a foremost expert in the field, adding that the recent open letter calling for a six-month moratorium on developing advanced artificial intelligence is, quote, understanding the seriousness of the situation, end quote. Eleazar Yudkowsky, is a theorist and leading AI researcher, continued sharing this, quote, "The key issue is not human competitive intelligence. It's what happens after AI gets to smarter than human intelligence." Many researchers steeped in these issues, including myself, expect that the most likely result of building a superhumanly smart AI under anything remotely like the current circumstances is that literally everyone on Earth will die. He goes on to say, not as in maybe, possibly some remote chance, but as in that is the obvious thing that would happen. Stay with me. It's not that you cannot, in principle, survive creating something much smarter than you. It's that it would require precision and preparation and new scientific insights and probably not having AI systems composed of giant, inscrutable arrays of fractional numbers, end quote. After the recent popularity and explosive growth of ChatGPT, you know about ChatGPT? You know, you can write books and it does a whole bunch of stuff. There's a lot of positive spin on this thing. After the recent popularity and explosive growth of ChatGPT, several business leaders and researchers, now totaling almost 1,900 people, including Elon Musk and Steve Wozniak, signed a letter calling on, quote, all AI labs to immediately pause for at least 6 months the training of AI systems more powerful than GPT-4, end quote. Yudkowsky predicts that in the absence of meticulous preparation, the AI will have vastly different demands from humans, and once self-aware will, quote, not care for us, end quote, nor any other sentient life. He goes on, quote, that kind of caring is something that could in principle be imbued into an AI, but we're not ready and do not currently know how, end quote. This is the reason why he's calling for an absolute shutdown. By the way, a little bit more, I'm not reading this to freak you out, but I got to tell you, it freaked me out. I'm like, this is something worth delving into, becoming more educated about. I know I need to be. It goes on, with a human approach to life, the AI will simply consider all sentient beings to be, quote, made of atoms it can use for something else, end quote. And Yudkowsky says there's little humanity can do to stop it. Yudkowsky blamed OpenAI and DeepMind, two of the world's foremost AI research labs, for not having any preparations or requisite protocols regarding the matter. OpenAI even plans to have AI itself to do the alignment with human values. Quote, they'll work together with humans to ensure that their own successors are more aligned with humans. This mode of action is enough to get any sensible person to panic. End quote. He added that humans cannot fully monitor or detect self-aware AI systems. Conscious digital minds demanding human rights could progress to a point where humans can no longer possess our own or own the system. Yudkowsky said, quote, if you can't be sure whether you're creating a self-aware AI, this is alarming, not just because of the moral implications of the self-aware part, but because being unsure means you have no idea what you're doing, and that's dangerous, and you should stop, end quote. A little bit more here. Unlike other scientific experiments and gradual progression of knowledge and capability, people cannot afford this with superhuman intelligence because if it's wrong on the first try, there's no second chances. Yudkowsky says, quote, because you're dead, end quote. Finally, he says that many researchers are aware that, quote, we're plunging toward a catastrophe, but they're not saying it out loud, end quote. The stance is unlike that of proponents like Bill Gates, who recently praised the evolution of artificial intelligence. Gates claimed that the development of AI is, quote, as fundamental as the creation of the microprocessor, the personal computer, the internet, and the mobile phone. It will change the way people work, learn, travel, get health care, and communicate with each other. Entire industries will reorient around it, Businesses will distinguish themselves by how well they use it, end quote. By the way, I'm not a fan of Bill Gates. We can get into that one. But he goes on to say that AI can help with, quote, several progressive agendas, including climate change and economic inequities. Finally, Yudkowsky instructs all establishments, including international governments and militaries, to indefinitely end large AI training runs and shut down all large computer farms where AIs are refined. He added that artificial intelligence, AI, should only be confined to solving problems in biology and biotechnology and not trained to read, quote, text from the internet or to the level where they start talking or planning, end quote. Regarding AI, there's no arms race. Yudkowsky says, quote, that we all live or die as one in this is not a policy but a fact of nature. He said, we're not ready. We're not on track to be significantly readier in the foreseeable future. If we go ahead on this, everyone will die, including children who did not choose this and did not do anything wrong. Shut it down. Now, I'm not even remotely educated in this field. Maybe you are. I would relish the opportunity to hear from somebody in the listening audience that has an educated comment about that. 800-222-5222. 800-222-KABC. If we do not get any calls on that topic, I am going to, well, I'm going to stay on it and really begin a process of educating myself. Because, look, if some expert says the prognosis is not good, let alone the degree by which he says it, I'm not an ostrich syndrome guy. I like go after it. So again, to be specific, if you have any area of expertise, knowledge in the area of AI, and you have thoughts about what I just read, please call the program. 800-222-KABC, 800-222-5222. And we will continue with much more of this program. This is the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. Previous segment, I read a commentary by a man who is a self-proclaimed expert in the field of AI. And he has grave concerns about, well, just the idea of not even taking a pause. His name is Eliezer Yudkowsky. As far as I know, I don't have any calls on the screen. Anybody that has some level of awareness or expertise, that's fine. It's not a test. But my point of many points, as it applies to whether it is the chat, what is it called? Chat GPT. It's getting a lot of commentary, awareness. It does a whole lot of things. Some of the uses can be very constructive. Here's the one point I would make. And how do I say this without sounding abrasive? We don't want to offend anybody in this day and age, right? If you have a position, you're going to offend somebody, right? Because we're just wired that way. Here's the bottom line for me. Someone that comes off with a chat, what is it again, Wayman? GPT, that says, oh, how cute. Oh, that's exciting. Oh, I want to just give you kind of a love slap. Like, think what you're saying here. And again, I'm free to say part of my position is based in ignorance. So I'm very restrained about coming out and saying a lot of things. For me, it's akin to the analogy, once you let the genie out of the bottle, guess what? Can't put it back in. And the book I quoted, somebody asked in an email, it's called In the Absence of the Sacred, The Failure of Technology and the Survival of the Indian Nations. I believe it's 1992. Author's name is Mander. Is not anti-technology. But the author's position is we better start questioning things. Because in the field of the public forum, There's no real pushback. Oftentimes, the discussion is promoted by those entities that benefit the most. The ignorant public were like Pavlov's dog. Oh, it must be good. I mean, no disrespect, but God gave you intelligence. Use it. Next time I see a commercial where the actors are fawning all over themselves, you got to get the latest cell phone. Think it's a phone. Granted, it's like a mini computer, but you don't need the latest greatest. I saw a very interesting article. I did not print it. I'm not here screaming paranoia or conspiracy theory, but there's this huge story about the federal government says if you have an iPhone, you need to download the latest app update immediately. The way I'm wired, that's the last thing I'm going to do now. Give me some reasons why. It's all fear-based. It's like, oh, okay, stay home, lock down, right? Stay in between the hours of 10 p. and 6 a. I'm talking about COVID, obviously, because somehow the disease, the cootie bug just doesn't, it goes out at night or whatever nonsense. I constantly reset and share like a disclaimer. I'm not a fanatical guy. I'm not an emotional kind of shoot from the hip guy. I'm very well reasoned. I'm a turtle. I come to my conclusions very slowly. All that to say this, we just survived 2 years of flat out tyranny. Do you not understand what happened? We talked, I don't know how many years ago, about globalists and the World Economic Forum, and people were laughed at, mocked. Oh, you're just so fearful. Thanks to the oxymoronic smartphone, do you know they were tracking people during COVID who went outside, who didn't get the shot? They still have databases now. And I'm not here to necessarily scapegoat the government or medical authorities. I'm just here to say, use your intelligence. Do not live your life in fear. Make good choices. Think through things. And I know this well because honestly, the majority of my 67 years on the planet, most of the harm done in my life, wait for it, was self-inflicted by bad choices, things that I did to myself. So I'm not here pleading to scapegoat the government and all that other stuff. Not my position at all, although I'm not a fan these days. Let's just say that. Boy, that could open up a whole nother discussion. Before the program, I was talking to a good friend. He was actually sharing with me about how politicians really profit once they're in office. And guess what? It's not just one political party. It's both of them. They're all padding their pockets. My 15-year-old son, God bless his heart and soul, sent me a video of Ronald Reagan, of all people, saying, in essence, beware when the government says you need us. We're here to, you know, fill in the blank. No. So we'll take a look more and talk more about AI, but I just have to say, let me look at the screen real quick. We have any callers? No. We got a couple do not takes. Oh, I'm half tempted to take them anyway. Adam just looked at me. Democratic Party, AI is like a virus. All right, doesn't sound like an expert, but at least it's on topic. Let's talk to George in Corona. George, you're on 790 KABC. Hello, George.
Hi, Frank. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling. What did you want to say about AI?
Well, you know, I'm not a big, tech guy, but I remember watching this program, and it was really interesting. And it had to do with the Stuxnet virus that the U.S. and Israelis were working on together. And when Iran was working on their nuclear program, they released it and they messed up their centrifuges and destroyed everything and set them back, which was a good thing, I guess, because it slowed down their nuclear program. But then they were able to identify it and take it. And once they saw what it was, and once they were, from what I remember hearing, that they were able to use it and develop it, something that we built as a weapon, they piled on, and they were able to isolate it and figure it out, A, that we did it, and B, now it's released into the world. And once something like that gets out, it's out. You know what I mean? You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, like they say. And I'm thinking, okay, if you have AI, it's artificial intelligence. It's intelligent. It wants to learn. The only way it learns is from the internet. The only way it learns is from the knowledge that you put before. And right now, that's a dangerous world. You look at the environmentalists, as benign as that sounds, they're telling you that we're destroying the planet, that we're the reason why the planet is going to die in 5 years or 3 years or whatever half-baked, you know, politician do you want to listen to. You want to listen to Joe Biden, where he literally said, you know, it's code red for humanity. Now, if you're an AI computer and you're learning, and this is the stuff you're being fed from a government that you trust, you're thinking, okay, yeah, maybe these guys are the problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if you have an AI that's now plugged into the world and plugged into everything, because that's really what it's going to do if it's really that intelligent, I mean, it really could look at this.
Well, let me jump in. We're up against a break. Your points are very well taken. George, I thank you for the call. A couple of thoughts, random, not really beneficial. That's the way my mind works. When George made mention of President Biden suggesting, what went in my mind was, let's pass the chocolate chip ice cream. Obviously a non sequitur. The other thought I had in my head, maybe at the very least for amusement purposes, I need to go back 22 years and watch AI, the movie. Remember Haley Joel Osment? Little kid was cute back then. He's done pretty well in the acting field. I think Jude Law was in that movie, too. Maybe it's worth watching. Maybe it's just happenstance or nothing there. But artificial intelligence. And when a self-identified expert, this guy wouldn't get one word in print if he didn't have a good idea of what he was talking about. Maybe he's just saying it to shock those in positions of authority and decision-making to get it stopped, but to say it's going to kill us all? I mean, that caught my attention. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. We have a few lines open. We've got some callers on hold with various topics, things we've not even brought up tonight. And for the remaining 30 minutes, I've got a few stories in front of me. I want to talk a little bit about the fact that Jacob Chansley has been released. He's the QAnon shaman. You may want to talk about January 6th. We haven't really talked about it. Tragedy in Nashville. Audrey Hale, 28-year-old biological woman, brutally murdered 6 people, 3 adults, 3 children. And we hear the drumbeat about banning assault weapons again, like that's going to do anything. And I guess the other big high-profile story is Donald Trump's been indicted. If that's something that floats your boat and you want to talk about it, okay. We have open lines, 800-222-5222 for me. It's really a non-issue. I don't think it's going to go anywhere, but that's just my view. How about you? 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. More of this, the Frank Sontag Show on the very first talk radio station, Talk Radio 790 KABC. I can change the world. Thank you for joining us here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Ben Harper, a man that is very gifted and talented in the area of singing and songwriting. 800-222-KABC. A couple of random thoughts flying around in my head. I got a few emails from people, and it happens from time to time, somebody will say, hey, are you the same? I used to listen to. Yeah, that's me. I've been doing this for quite a while. Originally at a rock station in town, 27 years on KLOS. I did an afternoon show for 8+ years. Every afternoon, Monday through Friday from 3 to 5. And now I'm on KBC, one night a week, Friday nights. I got an email from a woman, Janet. Why are you only on one night a week? Here's the answer. Because I'm only on one night a week. I mean, I don't want to go down this road too far. But let me just say this. I would do more of this in a heartbeat. I've been on this wonderful radio station, and I've really grown to love KBC. I have a history with this station. Back when I was on KLOS, KBC was our sister station. I actually did some fill-ins doing talk radio way back when. I was talking to our boss yesterday. I won't name drop here, but I was telling him that in the old building way back when, in the 80s and early 90s, there was a long hallway. On the left side of the building was KLOS, right side was KBC. And there was a national studio on KBC. Michael Jackson did the morning program. I think it was 9 to 1, 10 to 2. I was new in radio, and I would see people in the hallway in the course of a day. I mean, KBC was, it's the first talk radio station in Southern California. I used to call Ray Bream, who did a Midnight to 6 show, and harass him. Very mature. But I love the medium of talk radio. I actually kind of have a love-hate thing. But I mostly love it. So I'm in a season now where I'm praying a lot about, well, shall I do more of this? And your feedback is enormously important, beneficial, and I love reading emails, hearing from you. Even those that of you that say, you know, you're out of line, I can't stand you. In our previous hour, when I talked about the video of the woman ranting and raving about screaming at somebody that approached her in a parking lot, I got 9 emails from people saying they just don't like me in my position. And the fascinating thing is, and I get it, in this medium, even if you call in, you've got a few minutes on the air and you're gone. It's not like we can really roll up our sleeves and get down to something. So I understand how our perception, you can draw conclusions about little things you hear. When I did my afternoon program, I am a conservative Christian, theologically, not necessarily politically. Some people don't understand the difference. Then President Donald Trump was conservative politically. And although there was much about him I didn't like personality-wise, some of his positions I embraced. But people automatically would go, oh, you're a Trumper. You're a MAGA guy. No. And I can't stress this point enough, as long as I have a microphone. I don't think I've said this publicly on this program. I'm not saying it as some badge of honor. I usually, when I say this, the few times I've said it over the years, I get piled on by people that don't like me. I do not have a college education. I'm self-taught. I went to school and college to play basketball and pay attention with girls, basically. That was my life. I compromised my studies. Early on, I skipped the fourth grade. By the time I got to be a senior in high school, I was taught very clearly by my peers to be smart is not really embraced. I was bullied. I got a message. Be stupid. Be dumb. Be the dumb jock. Everybody will like you. That's what I did. So I compromised my studies, had no interest in going to college. Now I look back at what's going on now. I'm one that isn't necessarily enamored by the education that many of our sons and daughters are getting at universities and colleges all across the country. They've gone pretty woke. My good friend Dennis Prager is even more outspoken, much more. He said, if you want to guarantee your child will become woke and dumb, send him to a university. So I'm self-taught. I read a lot. I take this seriously. When I became a follower of Christ in 2009, I realized God gave all of us intelligence. The brain is a muscle. You need to develop it. Use it. Your eyes are muscles. I mean, where am I going here? There's no excuses in life. Life in and of itself is wonderful, a miracle. I'm not here to say that there aren't challenges. But we are resilient. We are made in God's image. We have so much inside of us to live life to its fullest with wonder and appreciation and gratitude, even in the face of challenges. You want to read a book that will change your life? Read Elie Wiesel's book, Night, a man that survived the Nazi concentration camps and how he learned to be grateful for life itself. I don't want to get on a bandwagon here, but I think a lot of us are so soft and self-obsessed and spoiled, and we have these views that are based mostly on emotion. And again, I don't want to hit her too hard, but it's like the audio from last hour. Woman, just so self-centered and yet ranting and raving and thinking somehow she knows how to protect herself from all bad people. Look, we all have a long way to go. I have a long way to go. But as long as God gives me breath, there's really no excuse. Here's another thing. I don't believe in the victim mentality. And granted, it's popular. Ever more so today than ever. Play the victim. Blame everybody else. No. Be grateful that you have breath and life and God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Challenge yourself. Growth is painful. Be the best that you can be, to coin a phrase that, you know, the Army stole years ago. Challenge yourself. Get out of your comfort zone. We're capable of so many things we may never even go down that road because it's scary, or we just rely on our strengths. Develop your weaknesses. Work on things that make you uncomfortable. Don't cower in a corner and complain about life. Scream from the rooftops how good life is and defend life. All life. I was blessed this past week to be asked to speak at a wonderful ministry called Preborn. They stand for life in the womb. And if you know where I've come from and where I am now, complete 180 from what I believed in my life for so many years. But my gosh, life is precious. It is a miracle. Every day, you can look around and see God's imprint undeniably everywhere. Dr. King used to wax poetically talking about the stars at night, God's pincushions. Fall in love with life and be a proponent of life. Be a healer. Be somebody that helps others. Jesus said the second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. The Bible says no greater love hath he than to lay his life down for a friend. Love is the most powerful force in this short life. And I'm not talking about sentimental, gushy, gushy, oh, baby, baby, I need you love. I'm talking about real love. So there you have it. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. Virtually a wide open board. Our last segment, I may touch on some issues. But thank you for spending time with us. We're here every Friday evening from 7 until 9. Right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. I want to briefly touch on three news items and finish the program. Board's a bit quiet. 800-222-5222. Not sure what I can say about the tragedy in Nashville. Biological woman walks in, murders brutally six people, three adults, three children. Police say there was a manifesto and she planned on hitting other targets. And then there's the whole connection to the issue of transgenderism. She identified evidently as a male, he, him, pronouns, all that stuff. QAnon shaman Jacob Chansley has been released from prison. That's the QAnon shaman. You probably saw videos. Funky dude, right? Pleaded guilty to breaching the Capitol. Sentenced to 41 months in prison. 41 months. He actually served somewhere. I saw he was in solitary confinement for a long period of time, 11 months, and then 16 months of his sentence as well. So he served 27 months. He's the guy that the media said broke into the Capitol, and a lot of the left ran and raved about how dangerous an insurrection. And we got some videos that were released, basically showing the police gave him like an escort around the Capitol. And mysteriously enough, he's now been released after Tucker Carlson broadcast never-before-seen footage that showed the U.S. Capitol police officers walking around inside the Capitol with Chansley. Is there a connection? I don't know. I still believe in a world where 2 + 2 = 4, so you make your own decisions. And then, of course, Donald Trump indicted for something that he allegedly did, what, 6, 7 years ago? Oh, gosh. If I had a program on the station 5 days a week, I'd probably do 2 hours on that one. Take a lot of calls. But I'll be honest with you. When all is said and done, and I spend time bloviating on the air, my position, getting people whipped up into a frenzy, when all is said and done, I just think this is business as usual. Politics. The left needs the right needs the left. I'm kind of a libertarian at heart with conservative tendencies and the history of my life. I was a progressive activist. I was a leftist. Not like the leftists now. These people are basically flat out Marxists. But it's interesting how when Trump was in office, from the opening ding, man, people just had it out for him. He didn't help his cause a whole lot. You talk about a guy that needed to learn to, you know, shut his mouth, but part of the ego and everything else. I'm not a fan of his personality at all. I don't know anybody that can defend his personality, but he got a lot done. And then Joe Biden comes in office, signs a stack of executive orders, and here we are. It boggles my mind. This is what I would do if I had a full-time talk show. I'd spend 2 hours inviting people to call in and talk about the president administration and how they've helped you or not helped you. I was reading a post on Facebook from a close friend, falling all over, I'll be gender neutral, themselves, screaming the praises of Joe Biden. And I'm like, and this person I know is a close friend. Not well off. I'm like, how are we better off? Is this really an administration that you think is doing a wonderful job for you, the middle class American citizen? Having the borders wide open. I mean, I can go down the line with my position. But I think there is some credence and truth in the fact that there are many people that just hate Trump. And so anybody is a good alternative. And people getting all excited about the indictment. Oh, this is fantastic. Oh, my gosh. You really don't see the bigger picture, do you? So we don't talk a lot of politics on the program. If I had a five-day-a-week show, we talk a lot about politics. But in these 2 hours, I tend to be more decisive about addressing issues that affect all of us. And for the most part, I think what we see now, government-wise, locally in our state, I know a lot of liberals that can't stand Gavin Newsom. I'm like, this guy is in a whole nother category. And yet he has aspirations of being president. Here's the last thing. Speaking of January 6th, do you really believe, and I'll leave it as a rhetorical question because we're almost out of time. You really believe what, 81 million people voted for Joe Biden? You really believe that? Or whatever the stat is. I just find it hard to believe. And I'm not sitting here and going, the election was fixed. And although, just it was fascinating the night of the tallies where all of a sudden certain districts shut down and some funny business, maybe. But even before that, the passing of new laws because of COVID, you know, mail-in balloting, ballot harvesting, all that stuff. I know for me, as an individual, I said this earlier in the program, as much as I have a healthy disrespect, a healthy pessimism toward the government, I still think it's we the people, that I'm the one that wreaks havoc mostly in my life. In all my years on the planet, I'm the one that's caused the most damage in my life. Not the government, not other entities, not bad guys. It's me. Poco said, I've seen the enemy and he is me. That's why I'm big on personal responsibility and not playing the victim. Far from perfect. In fact, nobody's perfect. My faith said there's only one. His name is Jesus Christ. Oh, he's one of those guys. I'm going to send him an email. Save the religion talk. I'm not a fan of religion. It's about a relationship. I'm going to end unplanned with a plug. I have a men's ministry, and in a couple of weeks, I think it's April the 12th, I will be doing an 8-week class on sonship. What does that mean? You're talking about the big bright thing in the sky? No, I'm talking about S-O-N. Here's the short of it. I believe as men and as women, you're created in God's image. God loves you as his beloved daughter, if you're a woman. God loves you as his son, if you're a man. In faith, particularly Christianity, there's a lot of emphasis on Jesus. I believe Jesus is the Messiah of the world, King of kings, Lord of lords, absolutely. No doubt about it. The Bible is his story. But I also believe in the Holy Spirit, and I also believe in God the Father. Most men have a father wound. We've got a serious problem with fatherlessness in our culture. And I think the relationship with God the Father is of the essence. So when I say sonship, it's about teaching men that God loves them as his son. And when you develop a relationship ongoing with him, healing is absolutely of the essence and a lot of other things. So I've formulated an 8-week free. It's free, not going to charge a penny. It's Wednesday nights for 8 weeks, I think starting April the 12th. It's based on a book by James Jordan called Sonship. Go to franksontag.com. You're welcome to sign up. We're not going to ask anything of you. You can sit there and just stare and write notes or be actively involved. But I think sonship is the missing link in so many ways that men don't realize there is a God, the Father, that loves them immensely, as is the case with women. You are his beloved daughter. So sonship, go to franksontag.com if you care to inquire about more information or sign up for the free, it's a Zoom course for now. All right, Lord willing, we'll be back next Friday evening for another Frank Sontag show. If you missed any of this broadcast, all the podcasts are up at franksontag.com virtually right after the program. God bless you. Thank you for listening to Talk Radio 790 KABC.